Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back in, and thanks for making the show part of your Monday. We got to welcome in our Richmond audience. They'll be with us for 3 hours, starting right now on AM 910. FM 105.1. Everybody else has been listening on the flagship all over the DMV, 106.7 The Fan. Pumped to go to the hotline right now, BetQL guest hotline, Bet Smarter to Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app, visit BetQL.com to welcome onto the show Ben Standig. Darius, you punch him up because Tremor was in here tinkering with something and now I can't do anything.
Oh, no.
So that's always good. Ben, appreciate the time. Thanks a ton. How are you, buddy?
GP, I am well. I appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely, man. Let's start with this. Is there any chance the Commanders aren't allowed to spend money right now? They have said they're going to be aggressive post-draft. Well, it's post-draft. I think James Bradberry makes sense. Crickets. I think Melvin
another
Ingram
football player makes sense.
Would have made sense. He just signed with Miami for $5 million. They have no depth at defensive end. They're bringing F.A. Obada. Crickets. How do we know that they have money to spend? And I don't mean cap space. I mean like that Dan Snyder is allowing money to be spent.
I think it's a reasonable question. It's one I asked Ron Rivera at the owner's meeting at the point when we were discussing sort of the early parts of the Terry McLaurin situation. And I asked Rivera flat out, like, I know you're making the football decisions, but are you being told your hands are tied when it comes to the money? He said, no, they're just being mindful of the cap. Okay, well, we'll see. I mean, they do have the Landon Collins contract coming off the books, you know, post-June 1, which will put some more money towards the cap. But, yeah, I mean, there's always ways to manipulate these things. That really doesn't seem like the issue. And, yeah, I mean, OTAs start in a week. I mean, whatever it is you want to do. I know Danny just said a player. Like, yeah, it's odd to me that they're just not signing anybody, let alone somebody of some significance.
Yeah, and that's kind of my thing. I mean, you can make the case pretty easily. Take the draft out of it because you don't have to spend on those guys. It's part, unless they just opted out and said, hey, we're not going to draft any players this year. We don't want to spend
any
money.
Us.
I mean, which is effectively what they've done in free agency, oh, by the way, with a chance to get better. But they did. They picked players, so I give them credit for that. But in free agency, it's guards, where they got cheaper at both positions and probably took a step back in terms of the talent at both positions. Your other two additions were other former Panthers and a depth defensive end who may or may not make the team, take him or leave him, and a depth wide receiver who might make the team. And I guess my point is, with all that they've lost, look, I think they're going to be fine because they have an easy schedule and they upgraded at quarterback, and maybe that's their thinking too. But I don't know. They've done almost nothing. It's been 2 months. I feel like people should be talking about this like every hour of every day, and no one seems to care.
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak for those that care. I don't know how big of a group we are. We haven't had a meeting in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I have a story up today on The Athletic about sort of like what are the storylines going in to OTAs next week. And one of, the angles, two of the angles were, what else do they need and who else might they be looking at? And what I was told in talking to some people around the league, agents and some others, is that it's not that Washington isn't looking. They've made some calls, linebackers, defensive tackles in particular, at least, but that it doesn't feel like there's like a lot of a heavy aggressiveness in the pursuit. And they're right now sort of floating out, from what I've been told, that, you know, if vets want to come in on the minimum, great, but there's no, doesn't sound, I haven't heard at least of anybody who suggested they're offering any kind of significant, you know, money. Again, it's all relative to this time of the year. We're not, nobody's signing a, you know, a $20 million contract right now, but just anything of something that would get a veteran who's out there, and there are plenty of veterans who are out there, to say, yeah, I want to come to Washington, not just for a hope and a prayer, but for like an actual paycheck.
Ben Standing of The Athletic with us here on G&D. So, Ben, to that point, there are two doors that I think this falls behind. One is the cash-strapped thing that Grant is talking about, which I think, by the way, is no longer, it's out of conspiracy theory and into, hey, we need to find out about this kind of territory, right? That's number one. And number two, they think they're good. They in their minds, they're Buffalo, they're Kansas City, they're the Rams, they're as good as anybody in this sport because they got Carson Wentz, and they don't need to spend. Those are the two sort of doors I could see them, hiding behind it at this point. Which do you think is more likely?
Well, I guess I just can't possibly believe they think they're good enough. That would be a bit much to me. I mean, I will say, like, on offense, I'm not talking about that they have all pros everywhere, but I think in terms of like fielding a pretty reasonable 53, but in terms of the offense, I think they're probably okay. Like, you know, if you want to add somebody else for depth, fine, but I can sort of look at the guys they have and think these are the players that will be on the roster and we'll be generally okay with it. Defense is where I think I see the holes. Ron Rivera himself mentioned linebacker. I think they need right now, you tell me, who is the third starter where you're on a 4-3 base? I mean, I have no idea. And that's assuming Jamin Davis is ready to play every snap in a sub package at linebacker. And then you need depth, I would say. And then you can argue, you know, I think defensive tackle depth, I mentioned, cornerback, you can have another vet in there as well. So, I think there's things to do. It is a big wonder. I mean, the only thing I can sort of imagine is they were told, at least of a not conspiracy theory nature, that they were told before the Wentz trade, here's what you're playing with from a budget perspective. You do what you want, and they blew it all on the quarterback, and now would have to, you know, nickel and dime to get to the finish line. If we want to go beyond whatever's going on with the owner, that would seem to be one thing, and they chose to go that route, and that's where they're stuck. But yeah, it is incredibly odd to me at this point.
So my only pushback, or maybe just to double down on the point, I do get the sense that they think they're good. I mean, Ron Rivera, his own rhetoric is where this is a year of ascension and more is expected. I think they looked at their schedule. They looked at the fact that they, in their mind, they solved quarterback for better or worse. I think they point to quarterback as the weakness from last year, and that somehow fixes the defense. It somehow, you know, corrects an underachieving group, somehow makes Chase Young more mature or whatever Ron Rivera's criticisms were. I think they think they've solved it. I do get the sense they feel like they're going to be pretty good. Do you not?
Well, I mean, I think those are sort of maybe two different things. I think they think that, yeah, they can get 10 wins or more and be some sort of a contender in the conference. Right or wrong, you know, a lot's going to obviously depend on Wentz and whether this defense can look a lot closer to the 2020 form than they did last year. But even the good teams still add players. And like I said, right now, first down, the opening game of the year, you're in a 4-3 base. You tell me who the other linebacker is next to Holcomb and Jamin Davis. I have no idea. So it can't be that much of a hole. Like, and that's just a position. You know, again, we could quibble about upgrading in other spots, but just in terms of fielding a basic group. And, like, you know, even like a, say, cornerback, okay, let's just go, we're good with William Jackson, Kendall Fuller, fine. You think Benjamin St. Juste is ready to go? Okay. Well, then what? Like, I mean, Danny Johnson was totally solid in the role, you know, thrust into playing last year, but, I mean, that's a lot of question marks at an increasingly important position in this league. So I can't comprehend that even if they think they're good, that they can get the 10-11 wins, they still wouldn't think they need to add more. That would be my, I guess, counter.
Do you remember Rivera saying they're not going to Richmond because it's not cost-effective?
Yes.
What does that mean?
The way I took that was, you know, remember last year they went for a week. They basically did it as sort of a gift to Richmond because, you know, they hadn't been able to go the year before for the pandemic and the contract technically ran out. And so they, I think they were just trying to be, you know, be a good sport about the whole thing. But moving all the equipment, moving all the players back and forth, I don't think it was both cost efficient and maybe not financially efficient. If you're talking, but I haven't heard anything about going for the standard 2 to 3 weeks like they've done in previous years as like a real viable situation. Like at this point, and I don't know this, I'm not reporting this. The way I'm looking at it is, I'm not looking for hotels in Richmond in July and August. I assume they'll be here at this point, based on kind of where we're at.
Will they be doing joint practices? Because that to me was always the weakness there in Richmond. I mean, I know they had a couple in their history, but they couldn't do like the home
and
home.
Wouldn't they have already had to book those? Yeah. Those would already be on the schedule.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. Like that to me is the best thing. It's not a preseason game. It's the best work in these controlled environments where, you know, cutting edge teams like the Patriots and others figured out pretty early. This was a great way to get work in against some opponents and kind of figure out where you're at. Are they doing that? Are they planning on doing that? What's going on there?
No, it's a great question. There was obviously some talk about the Bills a few weeks back, but then, you know, I don't know if it was because of the kerfuffle with J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, I don't think the Bills are going to be doing much with them anytime this summer.
Yeah. So, you know, you're right. I haven't heard anything. I mean, if you look at the if you do the joint practices sort of to wrap it around one of these preseason games, the first game is Carolina right here. Like that would seem to be, if you're going to do it here, that would seem to be one that would make sense. I mean, I guess you could do it in Ashburn, maybe, I guess. But that starts getting dicey. But, yeah, I've not heard, and I'll be honest, I haven't really followed up on this particular topic of late. But, yeah, I've not heard of anything since those early Buffalo rumors a while ago. And, yeah, I'm with you. To me, you know, maybe it's easier said than done, but the joint practices seem like a really good opportunity for sure.
Yeah, and they haven't done joint practices in Ashburn because I don't know where the other team would get dressed or like, you know, like I don't know how that would even work, to be honest, from just the standpoint of the facilities. I don't, maybe they could pull it off. I'm not sure. But to my knowledge, I don't remember anything like that. Maybe scrimmages way back in the day against the Steelers when I was a kid or something like that might have been in Ashburn. Ben Standig, The Athletic, with us here on Grant and Danny. So it sounds like you might agree with me here. I want you to kind of buy or sell what I'm about to say. I actually think I see them winning 10 games, and I think it, more than anything else, it's the schedule. I think people over and underrate a lot of things all the time, and I think one of the most undervalued things is who you play. And it's going to end up being when you play these teams that determines if the games are as easy as I think they're going to be. But I really do believe you get better at quarterback. You go from playing the hardest schedule in the league, according to Warren Sharp, to one of the easiest, according to Warren Sharp. I think that's a big difference. But I like their offense a lot. I'm really worried about their defense. National pundits, Ben, they act like... I heard Daniel Jeremiah 2 days before the draft saying, yeah, Washington's got a really, really good defense. I don't see it that way. I think they're thin on their defensive line now. They have very little depth, and they seem to refuse to want to sign anyone to help that. Their linebacking core is... not good enough. I mean, Jamin Davis might play every down, and unless he's a lot better than last year, that's a big question mark. And I think they need help at corner massively still. Not like, oh, a little bit. Like, no, they really need corner depth. Where are you at on some of those thoughts?
Yeah, well, look, on the defense, I mean, we can all sit here and assume that everybody on the defensive line is going to reach their potential. John Allen certainly played well last year. I think Deron Payne, by and large, did. But, you know, the two ends definitely didn't live up to the expectations. Chase Young, in particular, was way off. If you want to assume he's going to get, you know, 9-10 sacks, be in some sort of Pro Bowl conversation, I mean, rock on. He certainly has the potential. I'm not going to do that. We'll see. He's coming off the ACL. And before the injury, it was just incredibly disappointing for last year, right? So there's that. We got to see where he's at. And then, yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, I think their starting four in the secondary is about as solid as they've had, right, in a while. But the depth behind them is incredibly uncertain. And, you know, this whole Buffalo nickel position, like right now we're all just saying, oh, Percy Butler, like, okay, the fourth round pick from Louisiana, we're just penciling him in as good to go. Like, I'd like to see him practice. So before I do that, and I don't know who the other option is. So I think that's for sure. As far as the record goes, I mean, I'm with you. The schedule couldn't play out any better. I think it's like 12 or 13 teams in the league were given the maximum amount of 5 national TV games. 2 of those are the division teams against Dallas and Philly. All the other ones, the only one that the Washington is facing this year is Green Bay. And those teams are typically the ones that the league is telling you are the teams to watch. Maybe some for entertainment purposes, and by and large, because they're viewed as good. That's just one example of how the schedule is not that tough. The other one, on paper, that is. And then the other one is the first two games are against the team that had the first and second pick in the draft. Has that ever happened in history? I mean, if it did, certainly nobody could have had an easier start.
You can't play the same team that picked first and second in the first 2 weeks unless it's a division foe back-to-back and they traded for the second pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, things break pretty nicely on that front. And, you mentioned quarterbacks. Last year, week after week, it was, oh, no, here comes another MVP candidate quarterback. And this year, there are some good ones, but nothing like that. So it lays out nicely, and then you factor in Carson Wentz gives you more potential at that spot than Taylor Heinicke. The defense shouldn't be ranked 27th, you wouldn't think, but we'll see. So, I think I predicted 9-8 in what I wrote for The Athletic when the schedule came out, but, that was just sort of me being probably slightly pessimistic because I need to see it. But, I can see 10 wins for sure.
Ben, thank you as always, buddy. Appreciate the time.
Fellas, always appreciate it.
We'll see you, dude.
Go read his work. Does a great job covering the Commanders and hopping on with us here regularly on GND. So a couple of things real quick before we move on to Jameis Winston. The first is, if they're going to be in Ashburn for the duration of camp, it'll be the first time in several years they don't make any trips to Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to the old ways. I don't know how you would do the practices against another team. They haven't done it in the past. There's no precedent for that. Maybe they could pull it off. They have their own locker room, but it's not like there's a locker room for someone else to use. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest reason they couldn't do it in Richmond was because the Richmond contract said, you can't leave. You can't go anywhere else.
Well, they couldn't go to somewhere.
Right.
They couldn't make a multi-year commitment. You come here, we'll go there.
Yeah,
but they could welcome teams easily with the facility. They did with the Houston Texans.
No, I know
others.
They did. But teams aren't going to agree. We're only going there. You don't come back and practice against us next year. No, we're not doing that. So
and
they lost out a bunch.
Deal,
yeah. So they got some. Houston came. The Patriots came. I think maybe another team or two. But that was a hamstring for them. So in theory, you could do it. Logistically, you're right. I don't know how they would do that there in Ashburn, but at least the possibility is open. But Ben also mentioned the preseason schedule. That might, in and of itself, I don't say present a challenge, but present maybe one opportunity. Maybe if it's with Carolina or with Baltimore, you could probably do it. You could just haul your stuff up there. And I don't know. I don't know how you would do it. But that, to me, is the thing I beat the table for years. That's where your best work is going to start to come. The more and more people are de-emphasizing play in the preseason in terms of starters, guys getting work, that's the best way in a controlled environment. There's always going to be some risk when you're playing football, but I think that limits the risk and you still get the best work out of it.
The schedule that Ben was referring to came out on Thursday night, and I spent a good bit of the early part of the show Friday breaking the schedule down in detail. Danny was out at a bachelor party. You can go back and podcast it at thefandc.com if you want. But I want to get into one of the actual quirks in the schedule that is not obvious when you first look at it, that's actually a really tough thing for Washington and the league in, I would say, for a second straight season, in a way, made life real hard on Washington in the back half of their schedule. We'll get into that and explain that coming up. Here's the Jameis Winston cut, though, that made me laugh. I just think he's inadvertently one of the funniest guys in the world. Like, he doesn't try to be funny, but nobody makes me giggle, like belly laugh more than Jameis Winston in sports. Listen to this comment live on TV and just tell me what you think.
As a kid, my passion was always football, right? But being taken away from the game, I didn't realize that my passion was playing football.
Oh, I appreciate the clarification.
But he had to get taken away from the game to know. He thought he loved football.
No. That's erroneous.
He loves. And it's just how he delivers it. Plus, the video is even better because he's doing the bit where you're looking above the camera the whole time. So it looks like he's like watching a fly around or something. But on these new, everyone's got a camera now in their facility. You probably don't have, you have like a return video. And he's probably watching himself in the video, not the lens. So he's like looking above the camera. He goes like higher when he says, playing football. It's just the delivery pops me.
My passion was playing football.
I love that he thinks he's incredibly profound. And that's where the humor comes in, right? Where, like, he's giving that speech to his teammates about, like, eating the win, and everyone, and he's like, thinks he's come up with some sort of, like, amazing analogy or metaphor for, like, life and togetherness and winning, and everyone's looking at him like, what are you talking
you
about,
dude?
You
gotta eat the W.
Yeah, and, like, he starts, like, you know, licking his fingers like he's like, consuming. It's just so odd. But, yeah, that's perfect. Like, a lot of people love football. Not me. Let me offer a distinction. It's the playing of the football. That's what I love.
It's the next level on the thinking.
Yes. Watching it, not as amusing to me as playing it.
He's a philosopher.
Yeah.
He's the best. He also does the quirkiest, strangest, weirdest drills. Like, he'll train Jim Zorn style with people. Instead of throwing bags at him or something, like, someone's just, like dropping bricks near his feet. And he's, like, trying to do quick feet. Or he's, like, training in a room where apples are falling from the sky. It's just, like, the weirdest things, you know? He's the best, Jameis Winston. All right, the part of the schedule we haven't talked about that actually is a huge detriment for Washington that could make their life difficult, we'll get into that next. Plus, Max Scherzer did something hilarious over the weekend we'll tell you about. And our double play, 25 minutes from now at 3:45, we do it every single day. Today for the double play, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
How much weight did Danny gain on vacation? We'll all get to ask him yes or no questions. He'll have to answer our questions about what he's been eating and drinking. And then we will all make our guesses and see who's closest to the pin for how much weight did Danny gain on vacation. One of the most popular games in show history. We're playing today at 3:45 right here on The Fan.
As a kid, my passion was always football, right? But being taken away from the game, I didn't realize that my passion was playing football.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ben Raby joins us at 5 o'clock. We're going to try to figure out where the Caps go from here. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. So, Max Scherzer is probably the most Jekyll and Hyde athlete I've ever been around in terms of you go up to Max Scherzer on a random day when he's off and say something to him versus go up to Max Scherzer when he's in game mode. Whatever that is in different sports. For him, that's days pitching. That's probably within the hour that he starts throwing. Like, good luck in that conversation.
I made that mistake one time. Once.
Why would you have done that? You know the rules.
Just out of habit, out of, you know, courtesy. I see a human being that I recognize, right? Who's nice enough to come on our show. And we had a, not a relationship. He wouldn't care if I lived or died. But you know what I mean? Like, we know Max Scherzer. He was pitching that day, open locker room, at 3:47 p.m. I said, hey, Max, I may as well have insulted everyone he loves and stolen from him directly. The look he gave me.
I'm stunned that you did that.
As soon as left my fat face, I went, oh, my God, he's pitching today. Oh, my, what have I done? What have I done? And it wasn't as bad as Matt Williams scolding me, you know, and then the 8 seconds of silence, but it was close. I'll never make
There's
that
no
mistake again.
There's no chance he said anything. He probably just scowled at you.
Yeah, he scowled at me. Yeah. And that look was worth something. That hurt.
Because at that point, he's like, oh, this dummy's never been around a clubhouse.
This washed up idiot.
Throwing today.
Yeah, this stupid zilch has never, it's his first time outside.
So Scherzer gets out to the mound before his start this weekend, and the guy is still out there having not thrown the first pitch yet, to ceremonial first pitch, and Scherzer just walks right past him, gets up on the rubber, and starts throwing his warm-up pitches.
It's perfect.
So there's this hilarious video that I saw, and I'm sure there's all kinds of dialogue and stupid takes, and I haven't read any of those, but I have seen the video of this guy who's just standing there like, but
whatever. What do I do?
What about me?
I was told. And he's Milton Adams from Office Space.
He's got the ball in his hands.
I was told I had a ceremonial first pitch. I was told I could stand on the rubber.
And Scherzer is on the rubber. Yeah. He's now throwing. Like, he's working quickly. Like, getting hot. You know, he's trying to. He's working up a lather, ripping off all of his pitches. He's breaking off a slider, throwing the cutter. And this guy's just standing there like, wait, I got to go still. And finally, this lady comes out and just grabs him and is like, hey, this isn't happening.
Hey, it's not going to happen today.
She's got like the
earbud.
Yeah, the earpiece in, you know, and she's like working for the ballpark.
Okay,
and she's
go ahead and get him up off the mound, please.
She's like, he's not going to throw it. Okay, no problem.
Go get him. Okay.
Hey, yep. Frank, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do the pitch. And you can kind of see him like, this is my chance. I'm going to be a Met for a day. You know, I wore my jersey and everything. Scherzer just like so over it.
Yeah.
No interest.
I don't care about your ceremony. Your pomp and circumstance matters zero to
and
me.
Let me just get ahead of the idiots who are going to be mad at Max Scherzer. The time for ceremonial first pitches is before the crazy person gets on the mound for his game. You don't wait until Scherzer's out there to then watch some guy throw a pitch on his mound. And then he's like, all right, see you, Frank, and shakes his hand.
Yeah, good luck to you.
I'm not saying everyone's in that mode. Like, there are guys like Eric Fetty will go out there and be like, hey, have a pitch, man. Good luck.
Yeah, enjoy it.
And he's like, hey, you got a little arm side run there. Good job. And then he like throws a warm-up pitch right after that. That's probably how Eric Fetty would handle it. That ain't how Max does
it. No.
Max, from about noon on, I don't want to be Erica Scherzer. You know what I mean? I don't want to be in his house around him. And she said as much to us before.
Yes.
There's no one better. They call him Mad Max for a reason. For that to happen to, for a more hilarious video of this poor guy who probably knew for weeks he was throwing the first pitch. I did think about that and get sad. Like, when did he find out he was going to throw the first pitch?
They got to let him do it a different day.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He's like, I'm going to go to Citi Field and throw out the first pitch of a baseball game? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, let him do it when Taijuan Walker's starting or Tyler McGill.
Or just do it before the game starts. The Nats do their first pitch for a
6:15.
Yeah, for a 7:05 game, because I've been lucky enough, I think you have
as
well.
Yeah, I did too, yeah.
I've thrown out a first pitch over there. It's like it's 6:52. They do that in the anthem, like, way before the game starts. No one's on the field. Then they bring the players out last. They do their warm-ups, and they play baseball. Like, they come out of the tunnel at, like, 7:03 to come up the steps to start playing and warming up. Do all that way before. How on earth are you possibly risking...
Yeah, somebody screwed up.
First pitch running into Scherzer's 8 warm-up
talks. So, you know, remember what we used to do here in Nats Park was the, like, everybody runs out to a spot. They get a few lucky fans, like, to be on the field, you know, and to run out to a spot. And you say hi to Danny Espinosa, or, like, you're over where Anthony Rendon is. And, you know, you're out there for a second. And if you go to the mound.
The kids, they shake their hands.
Yeah,
or
you know, whatever. So there was one time it was really weird, but some of us from the fan, it was like 106.7, the fan day at the park. So, like, a couple people just did that. I think, like, JP Flame said, play ball, and, like, you know, other people did other things. So, mine...
So someone stood with the players?
Yeah, so mine that day...
Like a kid from the Boys
and a couple
and girls
listeners.
Club?
I mean, I remember, I think Andre from Manassas did it, right? Who, like, got to run out. So, a couple of the fans did it. It was, like, a weird different... I don't remember exactly what it was. But all I know was 7 different people came up to me and said, don't touch Steven Strasburg's baseball. You can go stand near the mound and say hi. Don't shake his hand. Don't touch the baseball. And I was like, listen, I know. I got it.
Do you, mister? I said hi to Max on the
listen,
day.
Listen, that was before I said hi to Max that time. But I knew, I understood that. I was like, listen, Steven Strasburg had rules. You couldn't talk to him the day he pitched, the day after he pitched, the day before he pitched. If you come
up
to him.
The day before he pitched, yep. Or the day after he pitched.
You could ask him 2 days before he pitched if it was okay if you spoke, and he would tell you no and look like he was chewing nails. But you could actually speak to him and say hi.
Talk to him the day before, the day before, the day before, the day before he pitches?
Yeah.
Or the day before, the day before, the day before.
You can't talk to him on the day he throws a bullpen, the day he plays catch, the day he eats breakfast, the day he might eat lunch, but right. You can't talk to him on Thursdays either. Just a random wild card. But I was like, yeah, I get it. I'm just going to stand on the side and say hi. It's not a big deal.
I'm sure you're going to say hi.
I did. I said, hey. I just said, hey, man. He was like, hey. Like he
did
didn't want.
Say anything?
Yeah, he just made this kind of side look. Like, do we have to?
He must have been so ricked.
Yeah.
Because he already, like, the chance, he doesn't know our names.
No.
But he knows, like, oh, those are those
radio
guys.
Yeah, I recognize that guy from something.
No, he'd be probably like, oh, these radio guys I have to do interviews with twice a year or whatever. So he sees you. Now you're on his mound?
Yeah.
Go away from me now.
I stood next to the mound. And I just said, hey, man. He was like, hey. I was like, you don't have to do anything. Don't
He's
worry
like,
about it.
This like, is bad enough. I have to see you in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
Now you're on my the dirt circle here on the mound.
It's my workspace, dude. Get out of here.
Go away.
No one's ever wanted anything less to do with anybody than him with me. And I was like, I get it, man. This is.
Gosh,
it's good to
great.
See you. Good to see you.
I will say, still, one of the coolest things I've ever done is getting to throw out the first pitch at Nats mm-hmm. Park. There is nothing that I can say to make it make sense as to how long it took, it felt like, for me to walk from the side of the field to the mound.
It's lonely, isn't it?
Because they say, like,
it's just you.
To throw out today's first pitch from 106.7 The Fan's Grant and Danny Show. Grant Paulson and like three people. Like,
tepid applause at best.
My mom and like two guys clap, you know, because A, no one's in their seats. B, no one cares.
No right? one cares.
So in my mind, I played this up like I'm doing this in front of 70,000. I'm right. George Bush after
Right,
September
after 9/11, 11. Yeah.
You know, like I'm trying to throw
a strike. I'm going to pump a strike
They're
here.
They're going to do documentaries about it 10 years from now. And really, not one single person paid attention other than my mom and my buddy Joey, who helped train me for the endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I walk out there. But from when they stop saying it, I'm still, like, because you start quite literally on the railing in front of the dugout.
Right.
That's where you wait. And so I'm not even at the white line yet, the fair foul line, like down the first base line, to get out to the mound when they're done talking. And so now it's just everyone watching fat me.
Right.
Just keep walking
Here you go.
Another 300 steps.
And
all
then
the
you
way
still
out.
Got time. And Jerome's like, whenever you're ready, it's your pitch.
Right.
I'm like, oh no. Yeah. I got a long time to go.
I'm still 30 feet from the. It's your pitch. And I'm not even on the dirt yet.
Yeah, am I jogging out there? I'm hopping the line. What am I doing?
So now I finally get out there.
It's your pitch.
Kind of toe the rubber a little bit. I want to go. Because I still. Some guy got really mad when I tweeted this the other day. I still totally judge you if you don't go from the mound.
You must throw from the
mound. There was a grown adult at the game I was at last Thursday. I went to the ballpark with the producers, the fellas. And some dude threw the first pitch, and I'm sure he was a great guy. He was 6 feet in front of the mound, and I thought of him differently. I was like, this not a guy I'd be friends with. I got to be honest. And so he just threw out the pitch and whatever. But anyway, I go up on the mound, throw a very mediocre, slow, Ephus-type pitch. You know, gets there, but it's in the wrong batter's box or whatever, and Screech, you know, drops it or catches it or whatever he did or didn't do.
Yeah, by the way, that's for our status. That's when you know a play like anybody because what they do is they ask the players, anybody want to get this one?
So we were told this. So I asked the PR guy, I'm like, hey, I'm throwing out the first pitch tomorrow. I said, do you have any idea who will catch it or can I request? He's like, well, what they do is he's like, they go around the clubhouse and they actually tell the guys, hey, we got so and so throwing out the first pitch. Will anybody? Like, does anyone want to catch it? So if it's Katie Ledecky after she wins a gold, Bryce Harper's catching it. You know?
Exactly.
Like if it's, you know, Denzel Washington's throwing out the first pitch. We got LeBron here today. Like, they're all fighting over it. And I'm like, so when Screech always does it, he's like, yeah, nobody volunteered to do
That's
it.
That's when nobody wants it.
And it wasn't Screech for me. It was like Screech's handler.
Oh, no.
So Screech probably said, yeah, not that guy. I'm above
well,
that.
Well, poor Screech is like, he's trying to catch me through his costume and his mask. He's got an oversized novelty glove. This isn't going to work, man. I'm not lobbing this thing in there.
But they totally were like, hey, anybody want to catch for this guy? And they all were like, no, I'll just juice some sunflower seeds.
An actual piece of tumbleweed goes by. No.
Like, I could just be getting bubble gum for the 30th time during the day during that. So I'll just have Screech's handler do it. So that's what happened.
Oh, man.
It was
his handler. Tough. That's rough.
It was. All right. Double play is next. Danny was on a little vacay, did a little bachelor party. So you weighed in when?
Wednesday morning before I came to work. And then I weighed in Sunday night when I arrived home.
And you left on Thursday night.
So Wednesday, drove straight from here to Roanoke, and then Thursday morning from Roanoke to Asheville. So Wednesday night is part of it. Wednesday is part of the consideration.
Okay, very good. Wednesday night, you leave. So we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Is that enough time for you to gain a bunch of weight?
Yes.
How many days in total? Four and a half?
Call it four and a half.
Four and a half days.
Four and a half, 4.5.
All right. How much weight did Danny gain in those four and a half days of eating what he wanted on vacation? We'll play the game next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Overall, you said you had a blast.
Really good time. Yeah, it was cool to be a part of the crew. We had some axe throwing. We shot each other with paintball, which was a lot of fun. I got stung by a hornet, which wasn't that much fun. That was part of paintball. I was in a cover, and this hornet stung me, and then I went out and, like, exposed myself, not in, like, the gross way, but, like, out of cover, and got shot in the leg because of it. And I'm, like, going, ow, that really hurts. Like, what's the problem, man? It's a paintball. And I'm, like, no, this giant hornet stung me.
But you're not, there's no tomfoolery here. You're not pulling one over on us. You have gained some weight on
this. Oh, yes. It's, the number is bigger than it was before.
Okay. That's great to hear. All right. So 4.5 days. He weighed in Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then again when he got home on Sunday night last night. So I'll start with a bunch of questions, and then I'll tag in Darius and Ryan and see if they
happy
want
to answer anything. Yeah.
Add any questions, and we'll see who's closest to the pin here. First question I've got. How much alcohol did you consume?
Zero. Not a single droplet of alcohol touched these lips.
Wow. Okay. How many donuts did you eat?
Three.
What? And give me a context on those donuts.
Saturday morning. There were donuts. I had three. What else you got?
Did someone bring them back to the house, or like, did you guys go shopping?
No, it was somebody had to drive someone to the airport super early, and they brought donuts back. So that's what we did for breakfast Saturday morning: donuts.
You did it three times over.
I had three.
Okay, that's good.
It's more than Nick Ashew eats in a year.
Let's see. Best thing you ate?
Biscuits from the Black Mountain Biscuit Company. It was a bacon, chicken tender, cheese, and fried egg on a biscuit with sausage gravy on top of it. A tie for second would be the side of biscuit that I got, which was just a plain biscuit with some butter. I'd put also the white pizza we ate at my father's Pizza and Pasta, also in Black Mountain, just outside of Nashville.
Did you get any pasta there?
No, just the pizza. Everyone else tapped out. I, of course, kept eating the pizza.
What sides did you get with the pizza?
Different kind of pizza. We got two pizzas, so we basically had pizza with a side of pizza.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner-wise, what were we doing? What kind of, like, the most expensive meal you had, or was it a lot? Was there snacking going on throughout the day?
Yeah, just kind of whatever. It was more for the guys. It was more about them going to different places to drink beer. For me, it was just driving them to those places and then eating fried foods. I had a Reuben at a butcher shop that was fantastical there in Asheville. So that was one of my dinner highlights. The pizza that I mentioned already. The coolest thing we did was a private chef came to the homestead and made a meal for us right there.
Healthy meal?
No, but a meal.
What did he make?
The steak was healthy. That was like a healthy thing with like a nice little chimichurri sauce. There was some potatoes. There was an apple cobbler, which was a tea and Miss Davis. It was delicious. And I forget what the appetizer was, but it was remarkable.
What other desserts
too.
Did you have other than that cobbler?
So I had the donuts. I had the cobbler. I had brownie bites from Sheets two different times. I tried both flavors. One was a caramel. The other was just sort of straight double chocolate. Very good. Highly recommend if you're in a Sheets to pick those up. What else? The donuts I mentioned. I got a fourth donut for dessert. I heated it up later one of the meals.
Any other fast food items?
No, just Sheets four times. That was okay. The only stuff that was from the road.
And what were you drinking? Was it always water or tea?
Water, tea. Occasionally, I had one soda when I had tacos. I had a little bit of the bubble guts. I broke this. My wife doesn't know this. Anyway, I quit soda, cold turkey. It was about 14 years ago, and I had my first Coca-Cola Classic in more than a decade.
Wow.
My wife would rather me cheat on her than have soda, by the way.
That should have been the lead. All right, so I've got one more question, and then I'm going to tag you guys in, so be ready. Exercising. Now, obviously, you guys weren't working out on a bachelor party.
Right.
Or else it was a terrible time.
I will tell you, paintball, I closed my circles on my Apple Watch. Like, that was a
what
grind.
Does that mean? It means you got your
steps?
Yeah,
you burn enough calories. I got credit for exercise. The watch was like, hey, you did it. I was like, really? It was hard. A lot of sweating, a lot of running, diving, dodging, trying to avoid being shot with a paintball. Yeah.
Anything else on the trip other than that was considered exercise?
Decent amount of walking, because we're in Asheville. You park, and you're not, like, driving to and from. But, like, we drive places, and we did a decent amount of walking around. You leave the house at, like, 9 in the morning. You don't get back until 10, 11 o'clock at night.
But no biking?
No,
treadmills.
No, nothing like that. No,
okay.
No.
All right, Darius, anything?
I love Sheets so much. Yep. I need more details on your Sheets experience.
I went to the sandwich menu each and every time. That's the right thing to do.
As you should, yes.
I had an Italian once. I had the cold cut combo once. I had the cheesesteak once. And I had a club one time. Each time I got a different kind of combos. And only two of the times I got desserts. One of the times I got an iced coffee. And I had two different Body Armor drinks. Which are mildly healthy adjacent, extra hydrating, trying to keep myself paced with these youngsters.
Any sides, any chips, or any fried
combos,
fries and things?
The combos. Okay. I had curly fries once.
Okay, got it.
Yep.
What about like when you weren't eating meals, like standard set meals?
Chips and salsa.
What were you snacking on?
Yeah, a lot of chips and salsa at the house. We had some pretzel chips.
What are pretzel chips?
They're pretzels that have been flattened down in
I
chip
love
form.
Those. Those are all some of my delicious. Favorite yeah. things in the world.
They're really good. So we had a lot of those, and that was mainly it.
Nothing out of the oven baked, like bagel bites?
Nothing like that, no. Then snacks at restaurants and stuff, little things.
Okay.
Was there a lot of bread eaten before these restaurants? Like, they bring a loaf of bread out. Were you, Were you eating that?
Yeah.
A lot of it?
Yeah.
Mm.
They bring a loaf of bread. Wouldn't that be a great restaurant?
Yeah.
I would love for them to bring just a loaf of bread. Just slice it up right in front of me.
Ryan would eat it.
He would not, because Ryan says he doesn't eat bread at restaurants, which is infuriating. All right, so let's make our predictions. Ryan, you go first. How much weight do you think Danny gained on vacation? Closest to the pin.
Danny, I think you gained 10.4 pounds.
10.4 pounds. Ryan is in at 10.4.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Man, I didn't want to go that high.
4.5 days.
Yeah. 4.5 days. Wednesday night through Sunday night.
I'm going to go 8.4. What's with the 0.4? I'm going to go with the 8.4 pounds.
8.4 yes. pounds. Darius is in 8.4. Grant?
There you go.
10's a lot. I'm going to say 7.9 pounds.
7.9
for Danny Ruye
pounds. Okay.
Over 4.5 days.
All right. Good guesses, one and all. Wednesday morning, 218.1. A little higher than I'd like to be before I left, but 218.1. When I return Sunday night, that's a 231.6. That's a difference. That's a difference of 13.5 pounds in 4.5 days. It doesn't quite touch the record I set in New Orleans, Louisiana, where I was 1/4 buttercream at the end of it, but just eating what I wanted without any regards to my health and well-being. I had one banana too, by the way. 13.5 pounds.
Darn, we missed the question on the banana.
In 4.5 days. Yeah, I don't know that would have helped you.
It didn't seem like it would have helped.
Yeah.
13.5?
13.5 pounds.
How mad was your wife?
Not more angry about
the
mustache.
Does she know the number?
No. Not what she does now. She's in the car right now after having picked up my son. So here, this is the following rank order for how upset she's going to be. Number one, the mustache. That's
more than the soda?
Mustache is one, because she has to continue to live with that. Two, the soda. Three, that like I didn't drink. Like she'd rather me drink and like be festive and fun. Then
my wife gets mad when I don't drink,
yeah,
too.
It's like the weirdest thing. She's like, you're so annoying that you don't do that.
Right.
So, yeah, of course, the massive amounts of weight gain.
13.
Yeah.
In 4 days.
13.5
I just
pounds.
I don't know. I mean, look, I have no problem gaining weight, very clearly. Yeah. It's very obvious. In a slow grind. I don't know how you do it so quickly. Now, it's not real weight. That's the best thing for you.
Well,
it'll fall off in the next couple days. You're fine.
I mean, I see what you're trying
it's
to say.
Weight, but
it's on me now.
4 days, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if you got down real skinny, like you were on when you were doing EMP, now Co-Pair, and then did what I just did, you jump up 10 pounds.
No. You jump up because you're on a great, healthy, regimented grind, and your body's like, oh, give it to me.
That's not so much better than what you usually do. More.
But I don't think 13 in 4 days would be hard. And I mean, I could try. I'd have a lot of fun trying.
But I don't think you could do it now is my point.
Well, I know I couldn't do it now.
Yeah.
100% I couldn't do it now. But, man, good for you. It sounds like a great time.
My wife just texted. I'll let you know what she said during the break.
Oh, boy. All right, we got
that. Love you, sweetheart.
We
I'm so sorry. Please don't leave me.
Oh, Jesus.
We have to stay late because of the podcast, by the way. Don't be mad.
Yeah. Pile it all on right now. My wife definitely doesn't believe me. I'm like, hey, we did a podcast for 40 minutes that didn't record at all, so we got to do that when we're done. She's like, yeah, right. You're just going to eat somewhere. I know you. You're just going to go hide out in some bar. Beltway Blitz at 4.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.